Acts chapter 17, verse 1 to 6. I'll read that, then we'll pray. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and the chief woman not a few. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time of day, Lord, that we can gather here this evening, and we'll just bring the message, Lord. I pray that you would anoint me as I bring it, Lord. If there's hearts here tonight, Lord, that have not accepted you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they would. And also, Lord, there's hearts here that are willing to reach out, that this message talks about here, Lord, tonight. We just pray that you would bless each and every one of us here tonight, Lord, and we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, Phil was teaching out of, I just lost my quote what he's teaching, but he was talking about the fields, how the fields are Proverbs, out of Proverbs, how the fields, you know, being unfruitful, full of weeds and all that stuff. And he brought something up that, as I was sitting back there this morning, he just like, he gave me like, I don't know how to explain it, but it brought memories back, took me way back. And he said he used to go along the fields and along the woods and the fence and take the scythe and start cutting weeds down. And I remember that so well. I would do that and take the scythe and just take the whipping the weeds down, the thistles were 7 to 8 feet tall, and we would just swing them things, and all of a sudden you'd hit into the T-post, and all that was so frustrating. And I mean, when he was explaining that this morning, I knew exactly what he was talking about, and so that was a very good lesson this morning that he taught on. So I'm going to be preaching about turning the world upside down, and the last two messages was about turning the world upside down, and there was four questions in those messages, and I spoke on some of those questions. And so tonight we're going to be speaking on question number two, what that question was, and then expounding a little bit more on that. And so this message is called Turning the World Upside Down Part 3, and it's on question two. So for the past few messages, I've been talking about Paul and Silas's impact when they came into town, when they came to Thessalonica, and everywhere they went, those cities were changed. Everywhere that they went, they made a difference. They made an impact. Many trusted in Jesus, but many others didn't. We know that many didn't do it according to the scriptures here, but nothing was the same after they had been there. When they came there, things changed. Nothing has been the same when they came there. After they came there, their impact was so strong that other communities heard about them. And so when they got to the city of Thessalonica, their reputation preceded them. Some believed in Jesus, but some fought back. And if you read in Acts chapter 17, verse 5, it says, "But the Jews which believed not moved with envy." And it says, "Took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar." So they fought back and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And so it was in the fighting back that Paul and Silas' impact was most revealed. Their enemies revealed that what Paul and Silas were doing. Because these men, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, it says, "These men," in the last part there, it says, "These men have turned the world upside down, or come hither also." So no matter what they thought of Paul and Silas, they knew one thing. They knew one thing about Paul and Silas. They knew that they turned the world upside down when they came. Because their impact was huge when this time took place, and when this took place at that time, because two men were changing the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And so it was quite a thing to be said at that time, that for them especially, that they were being accused of that. I mean, what a thing to be said of them, that the world was being turned upside down. That's what they were accused of. They were changing the world. So what if we were making that impact like that? What if we were the people that were in? What if people knew the world was going to be different because of us, because of the impact that we put out there? What if people were coming to Jesus by our presence and our message? Is our presence and our message going to witness to someone by the lifestyle that we are living, by our conversation? What if people say those people, what if they said that those people, they're turning the world upside down? So here are four questions, and some of these questions, I'm repeating some of these questions here. These are the four questions that we're looking at over the next few times, and I'll be preaching here to question number one, which I preached on that one, which is, we are a threat to turn the world upside down. Are we a threat to turn the world upside down? Do we have what it takes to make a difference in our world? And then are we walking in the newness of life? Are we walking where people see that Christ lives inside us? Are we letting that light shine? If you go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, or actually verse 2, the last part there, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And then, are you letting that light shine too? Let your light shine in Matthew 5, 16. Let your light shine show before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So is Jesus important? The first question was also a part of the question. Is Jesus important enough to us that we will stop at nothing to see him lifted up? Is he that important in your life that you exalt him, that you will lift him up above everything and anything that there is that comes in your way? And when we talked about three things, and we talked about three things that will make us a threat. And what were those three things? Treat nobodies as somebodies. And who are the nobodies? Not that the nobodies would be threatened by us, but that the somebodies would be in the nobodies. So the nobodies are simply the people that are broken. The nobodies are simply the people that are addicts, the neglected, the abandoned, the abused. Those are the nobodies that we need to do that. And so challenge what people think the church is. We need to challenge what people think the church is. Completely sell out to see people's lives change. That's what we need to do. Be completely sold out. And the second question here that we talked about is, are the people of our community talking about our impact? Are the people of our community talking about our impact? If I were to go in your neighborhood and ask your neighbors what they think of you, what would they say? If I go to Milan, if I go to Dillsborough, if I go to Versailles, if I go to these towns and ask your neighbors and say, what kind of people are these people here that live next door to you or down the street? What kind of people do you think they are? What do they do for you? How do they impact you? Does our community see that we're bringing change? Is our community different because we exist? And then question three is, are we doing anything that would disturb our community? Are we shaking up those who have no use for Jesus? Are we doing anything that causes people to be disturbed by our parents? And so the last question is our presence leading people to make eternal decisions? Are we leading people to make Jesus their king? And question number two is actually the one that I'm going to be expounding on. I did on question one. And so question number two is, are the people of our community talking about our impact? The people of Thessalonica were talking about Paul and Silas were doing everything everywhere they went. They were talking about them everywhere they went. Paul and Silas were making an impact, and we know that they were making an impact because in chapter 16, verse 5, and so were the churches establishing the faith in Acts, chapter 16, verse 5, I'm sorry, and increased in number daily. We know they were making an impact, that what they were doing is preaching the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And when they were preaching the truth and the gospel is that's the truth. And so therefore, they were making a big impact in wherever they went. And it was the talk of the town. And I'm sure there were many things going on in Thessalonica at that time when they were preaching the gospel at that time. The gospel was making the most noise at that time, was making an impact, and it was really making an impact to the people around them. So let's talk about what it means to make an impact. Impact is defined as to have an influence on, effect, or after. So a couple weeks ago, I had got a call that there was this young Amish boy that was wanting to leave the Amish. He's 17 years old, Another ex-Amish got a hold of me and said that, can you go, would you go get him or whatever? Long story short, I was asked to call the law to do a welfare check on him. And so the law went out and did a welfare check on him. Needless to say, they were not supposed to say who the anonymous caller was, but I found out that the cop turned the screen to the Amish guy and showed who called because he was friends with that Amish guy. And he told me so personally that he was friends with him, and he said there's nothing wrong with him. It's all just fine and dandy, everything's good. But I found out later that another Amish guy heard about it and called a good friend of mine that is a believer, a good friend of mine that's a believer, and he said, what did this Amish guy, called me and asked me about if I know Samuel Girard. And this, my friend asked him, which Samuel Girard are you talking about? He said, the one in Switzerland County. Oh, yeah, I know Samuel Girard. And then that Amish guy said, well, is he a snake or what? He's trying to take all these Amish kids away from us. And my friends told him, he says, well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I can guarantee you one thing. Samuel's not going to take kids away from their family unless they're asking to get away. I can guarantee you one thing. And I can guarantee you one thing. He's going to talk about Jesus to them too. He's going to talk to them about Jesus. And that is so true. So are we making an impact? I mean, whether it's negative or whether it's positive, we're still going to make an impact in this community wherever we live and around where we live. And so it was the talk of the town for Paul and Silas here. I'm sure there was many things going on at that time. And so when we talk about our church having an impact on our community, we're saying that we are influencing our community for Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. I was talking to Greg Smallwood. He's going to start a ministry. Well, he's in the ministry of addictions program, and he wants to get into the jail at Ripley County. And I was actually at Ripley County Jail this past week visiting an inmate there. And I walked in there and I talked to the jail commander, and the jail commander said, Samuel, we need people in here that needs to be witnesses to these people in here. Well, these men have nothing to do. They need to be in here, and we need someone in here. I said, really? I said, has Greg Smallwood been there? He says, no, not yet. I mean, I don't know who that is. I said, well, he's working on it, and Pastor Tom is going to come there with him, and I know that they want to come in here and do that. And I said, he said, well, we need something in here. We need something bad because these men ain't got nothing to do, and there's nothing to do for them. There's a place to go, so we need something going on in here. And so I was pretty encouraged about that. So that is one way that we can influence the community. That's one way that, as the church, we can influence the community and be an impact to the community, because we are affecting the people in our community by our lives for Jesus Christ, by our testimonies. The community is being altered because we're here. So Paul and Silas could have made an impact by causing riots. They could have caused riots. They could have come down to town and organized boycotts. They could have tried to push laws that would favor them. How many times does that happen today? They tried to push laws to favor them, to make a narrative for themselves and go about themselves. They could have raised a ruckus. Paul and Silas could have raised a ruckus by pointing out the criminals and the shady characters. We could have done all that. What we need to focus on is Jesus Christ. What we need to focus on is what God did for us when he sent his son on the cross to die, so that he was buried and was raised again on the third day. That's what we need to focus on and telling people about. How God has changed my life. How God has changed your life. That's what we need to be talking about. Because they could have picketed the local pagan temples, Paul and Silas, and they didn't. They just preached the truth, the cross, and the truth is what riled the people up. And as long as we say the truth, as long as we preach the truth and say nothing but the truth, the word of God, what this is, it is going to rile people up. But so what? It's still the truth, right? It's still the truth. Months or years later, Paul wrote back to the church of Thessalonica, and in that letter, he described his approach to coming into Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 to 13, let's read that. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 to 13. For neither at any time used we flattering words. They did not use any flattering words. They preached the truth. As ye know, or a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. What is the one thing that, I don't know if some of you can stand it or not, but I can't stand it, and it just drives me bonkers when I see it. That's why I'm no longer hardly on Facebook anymore. But people are out always giving money. They got the camera right on them. You know, they're giving money and they're going out and they're making a big name for them. They're giving them money and they're giving them free gifts and all this stuff. Paul didn't do that. Says it right here in Thessalonians. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblamely we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how ye exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who has called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God, also without ceasing, before when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as in its truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So from this, we can see what drove Paul's impact in Thessalonica. We can see what it did. It wasn't writing. It wasn't lighting. It was simply pure love. The love for his people, the love for the people in the city, in that town, he knew that they were dying, going to hell. He knew they were dying, going to hell if they don't accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. Paul made an impact on Thessalonica because he loved the community. He loved them so much. So if we want to make an impact on our community, we have to love our community. We have to love the community that we come in, that we live in on and or around. Here's a quote that I read. I don't know who the author is of it, but it says the measure, and this is in the context of missionary, doing missionary work. And so the measure of the church's successful missionary effort reveals the moral biography of her individual membership. I thought that was a great quote that was fitting with being missionaries. And then here's another quote that I read. It says, the reason some folks don't believe in missions is that the brand of religion they have isn't worth propagating. The brand of religion that they have is not worth propagating. So do you love your community enough to propagate what you believe in to be true in the Word of God, and that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and raised again? Do you love your community that you're willing to go out and to do so? Do the people here mean anything to you in your community? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to see people's lives changed in our community? Are we willing to sacrifice for these people? How much are you willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to sacrifice for them? So those are the questions we have to contemplate on this. And so we will not make an impact here until we're ready to answer simply yes to that. It doesn't matter. You can do anything. You can go when the church has this walk there a mile and go there with the church and support the church and hand out tracts or whatever. It can be anything. Help someone in need. That's something that you can do to help the community. Help someone and help your neighbor. That's something that we can do to be part of the community to help to make that impact what we need to do. Nobody ever changed a world without passion. And if we have to be passionate about people in our community, and we have to be passionate about the people in our community, we have to be passionate about them. So I know that the theme for this year is missions, and we will have missionaries come in and out and present their work from foreign countries where they go. We just had someone here a couple weeks ago, and that's great. And I'm blessed that we have a pastor who supports that, a pastor that supports missions and that wants to support missionaries. And even churches that there's a pastor who supports that, even a church that does. But me, being a missionary to the Amish people in our local community, I'm primarily preaching missions here for our local community because we have lost people all around us. My next door neighbor, I have no doubt, is a lost person. I know him. He wants nothing to do with God. Nothing. He wants nothing to do with it. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't have anything to do with God. But I hope that the impact that I can make by living there our church going is so repetitious. We go every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And that's okay. That's what we need to do. But don't you think they see that? They will see that. and hopefully someday something will happen in their heart and they'll wonder what we're doing. And I hope someday that they'll come over and they'll ask a question or whatever. That can be anyone. So that means we need a so that means we need a new church mindset as a church here to go out in the community and share the gospel. We have to change our mindset from how can the community serve our church to how can we serve our community. That's what we need to do as a church. We have to stop complaining about what is wrong with the community and start looking for where we can make things right in our community. So that change of mindset might be difficult for some of us. I can say that, and it's probably the way it is with a lot of us. It's probably pretty hard for us to change because we come here so satisfied and just sit here under preaching and go home and do our thing. And I'm guilty of that myself. We all can do that. So here are some practical ways to cultivate a love for our community, and that is to ask questions. We can ask questions, and what would you like to see churches doing in our communities? Are some of the questions that you can ask to these individuals that you're close to or wherever. Where do you think churches are missing in our community? Where do you think churches are missing in our community? What are the greatest needs in our community? Some of the questions that we can ask. And we can ask at ball games or wherever we're at close by, Aldi's, Walmart, wherever you want to go. You can even ask on social media. And so use this question to dig into these hearts of people and let their answers show you what's important to them, because that's how you find out where there is a need, by talking to people, simply by listening. I know that when I was younger, I've got accused of talking a lot, and I probably do talk a lot. I mean, you don't have to say amen to that, but I do still talk a lot. But what I did learn over the years is that you learn more by listening. You don't have to know everything. And I thought I knew everything. I don't know nothing. Little did I know, I knew nothing. And so let their answers break your heart and let God plant the seeds of love in you. And so prayer walking is something that I do a lot. Prayer driving. I pray a lot when I'm walking. I used to go out and milk the cow. When I did the chores, go out and milk the cow, and I would just be praising God as I was walking out there, just talking to God and praying for the needs and praying for people, praying for whatever come across my heart that I need to pray for, a person I would pray for. I pray a lot when I'm driving. Have you ever done that, praying while you're driving? One thing I would encourage you not to do is don't close your eyes while you're doing it, because it might not end very well. Ask God to show you what he sees. Ask God to show you that. Ask God to help you love this community. And ask God to give you specific ways to show you love, to show love to your community. And so when you get home tonight, I encourage you to write down what God shows you in your heart and who you should pray for. It'll come across. It'll come across your heart, and it'll come across. And so take the church outside the walls. Get out from behind the walls. We all know this building is not the church. We know that this is not the church. You are the church wherever you're at. This is the church. So we need to take the church to the community. God lives inside of us. So wherever we go, God is with us. He said he never leave us nor forsake us. So let's start taking the church outside the walls. Prayer and share is moving outside the walls. And so we need to take that and step ahead and see if we can make an impact in the community. And I'm talking to myself more than anybody. And this message is what I needed more than anybody, is to share what God has given me here to preach here tonight, because we can all make a difference. I know one thing I'm very excited about next Sunday morning. It's time of fellowship. We can get together. We can learn to know each other more and just fellowship. I'm very excited about that. So we need to get outside the walls. So we'll do it with our community in mind when we do this. We'll organize more in the future. Let's organize more in the future. I know pastor's got all kinds of plans. Let's get engaged with it. He's got plans that he wants to do this. Let's get engaged with that. Let's put our feet in the ground and just dig in and do whatever it takes for the sake of Christ, because what else do we have to lose, right? What else do we have to lose? We know that God is using us to impact lives. And so let's fill this church house up with lost sinners so that they can get saved. That's what we need to do. All of us are a testimony. All of us have a testimony. Maybe you're here today because of somebody from here or somewhere has impacted you. Maybe somebody has impacted you. I don't know. I know Jeremiah has impacted me tremendously in the last 11 years. Pastor Tom has, Pastor Phil, they've impacted me so much. and a lot of other people in the church have impacted me. Maybe you know this, but Jesus has changed their life, has changed every person's life that comes to you that has impacted you, might have changed their life. He has changed their life. And so we need to do that same thing. And I'm done. I want to read this quote here by Henry Martin. It says, "The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions, and the nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we must become." I thought that was a good quote. But we need to take it outside the walls, and we need to go to places and share the gospel. And just simply, if you don't know how to quote scripture, share your testimony. What's wrong with just sharing your testimony? That's one thing that someone has told me when they told me that story, because when I was early on Christian, in my newborn faith, when I was just born again, that's one thing that it said. It says, "Samuel, just share your testimony. Just tell them what Jesus has done," because that's something they can't argue with, because it's a personal thing that happened between you and God. And it's very personal, and that is so true. It is so personal. It's a personal relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And once that takes place, no one can argue with you. And when they told me that, that was very impactful to me. And I took that, and I ran with it, and I actually shared my testimony with my close family. And that was the truth. They cannot argue with you on that. I literally looked my dad in the eye, and I said, "Dad, Jesus came into my life. I was born again. A supernatural thing took place," and he just stood there like headlights coming at him. He didn't know what to say, because he couldn't argue with you. He could not argue with me on that. And that's exactly what a testimony does, a true salvation testimony. No one can argue with that, because it's a personal thing that takes place. Pastor?